You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Cashman, joined by Rhett Bollinger. And, the Twins in the midst of spring training down there in Fort Myers, Florida, and Rhett's all over it. Rhett, I was particularly taken by Terry Ryan's comments about this club, and love Terry Ryan, old-school baseball guy, and kind of a no-nonsense speaker, and he was saying, we've had four tough years here, and it's got to stop. He's pushing playoffs for this club in 2015. I know myself and a lot of the other people won't be picking them to reach the playoffs, but he's serious about that. And I was wondering, how is that attitude, has it wound its way to the clubhouse in any meaningful fashion? Do you sense any different edge in that room versus past years, or is it just kind of a wait-and-see situation? What do you think?
It definitely has kind of trickled into that clubhouse. I mean, guys like Brian Dozier, Torrey Hunter, these guys have definitely been vocal about it, too, thinking they believe this team could take a step forward this year. Hunter said that he watched him play a lot last year, obviously, when he was playing with the Tigers, and one of the reasons why he came here is because he thought they had a young core that's kind of ready to take that next step. But at the same time, obviously, on paper, I mean, if you're kind of looking at them objectively, you got to figure they're probably still going to finish last in the division. The American League this year has a lot of tough teams in it. There's really no kind of cupcake team or a really bad team. It seems like, you know, in the past, like the Twins or the Astros were kind of, you know, on paper at least really were supposed to struggle. This year it seems like the AL is pretty competitive, so it's going to be tough for the Twins to maybe get to the postseason. I just don't really see it happening in a sense this year, but it could happen, and crazier things have happened. And I think more realistically the Twins, you know, if they can kind of at least get closer to 500 this year and then kind of use this year as a bridge to the next year, would be more realistic and be more competitive next year once some of those top prospects like Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano are really up here. But yeah, I mean, definitely from the top, though, I mean, Terry Ryan's at least letting these guys know that he believes in them and he believes they can compete, which is kind of a big change from the last 4 years where they really did struggle, right, losing at least 92 games in each of those seasons.
You mentioned Hunter. Obviously, he changes. We talked about all winter how he changes that clubhouse in a dramatic and positive way. Having seen him now for a couple of weeks interacting with the younger players, what's your takeaway on what this guy means to this club off the field?
It's pretty impressive. I mean, the thing about Hunter is he's got that same spot in the corner of the clubhouse, in the back left corner there, the same one that Kirby Puckett had. And when Hunter first came up in his first spring training, he was next to Puckett and Dave Winfield. He never played with him in the majors, but at least got to kind of learn from those guys how to carry himself. And so far, he's kind of taken that same role with guys like Aaron Hicks and Byron Buxton. Their lockers are right next to his. And basically, wherever he goes, they kind of follow and trot around and follow him. And he'll even work with them on, you know, extra after workouts are already done. He'll go in the batting cage and sit there on a chair or a bucket and just sit there and help them with their swings and talk to them about life. I mean, and not just those two guys. I mean, any guy in that clubhouse can go up to him and talk to him, and he's always, you know, kind of giving his opinion on certain things, hitting-wise, and talking to players during batting practice, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, and with the media, he's obviously great with us too. So definitely kind of a refreshing change to have a nice veteran leader in that clubhouse.
Yeah. And speaking of veterans, Ricky Nolasco, this guy's a big deal to this rotation, was their big acquisition a year ago, and we know what happened there, a 5.38 ERA, just a miserable season for Nolasco. And I know he came to camp looking much leaner. That's a good start, I'd imagine, as far as just from an endurance standpoint. But what have you seen from him early on, you know, physically and also as far as the stuff is concerned?
Well, he made his spring training debut on Monday against the Pirates, and he looked pretty sharp. His stuff looked pretty good. I mean, the big thing he said right now is his movement's really been working pretty good. And even in his bullpen sections, I talked to Phil Hughes early in spring, and he threw next to Nolasco, said he could kind of tell a difference in that his stuff just looked a little crisper. His two-seamer was really kind of diving there as a, you know, a good ground ball type pitch for him. The Twins are definitely very happy about the conditioning. He made it a point this offseason to hire a live-in chef, which must be nice, but he did that and really kind of changed his workout routine and definitely looked leaner. Probably lost around 10 pounds or so. And, you know, and based on his track record before he came here, he's a better pitcher than what he was last year. I think the Twins are excited to see him maybe take that step forward and kind of bounce back. But at this point, there's really no guarantees of that. We definitely know how bad he was last year. But his attitude, too, in camp's been better and more personable with other players, and because he can kind of be a quiet guy. So I think the Twins are definitely happy so far early in camp, but we'll see how it kind of plays in the regular season.
So does he have the live-in chef with him in Fort Myers?
You know, I have to ask him that. I think it was more of a Florida thing, but I guess on the other side of Florida and California. But yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
That'd be a good perk for the chef, you know?
Maybe I know Morneau did that down here in Fort Myers. Morneau had a live-in chef, and a lot of the guys would go over to Morneau's house and have dinner, and Scott Diamond and those guys, other Canadians, always came over there because Morneau was really into the whole chef thing with no gluten and all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by this Danny Santana-Eduardo Escobar dynamic at short. It's Santana's natural position, as we know. He didn't play there last year. Escobar played there last year and has had a strong early showing in these exhibition games. So, you know, how much can Escobar push this situation? You know, how much is it locked in with Santana? What are your thoughts on that?
It is a very interesting dynamic. I do think in some ways that Santana's kind of locked in a sense that obviously last year he was so good as a rookie, and they want him to kind of take over that shortstop position. But the thing is, no one's really grabbed a hold of that center field spot yet. As much as the Twins would love to have Santana be at short, it's tough because Escobar was pretty capable last year as a everyday shortstop. Hit .275 with, I think, 35 doubles, which is second most doubles of any shortstop in baseball last year. So he definitely was pretty capable. So it's kind of a tough thing where if Santana wins the job, which he's expected to do, Escobar's on the bench, and they have, you know, either Hicks or Schaefer in center, whereas obviously they can kind of plug both holes with putting Santana in center, but they don't want Santana to be a center fielder moving forward because they have Byron Buxton, who's a center fielder of the future. So what they'd like to see is Santana be their shortstop of the future, and the only way he can do that is to get reps there because last year he didn't really. Last year he played out of position most of the year, and now they kind of want him to be that everyday shortstop and get those reps to be their shortstop of the future because center field might be a short-term need right now. It's not going to be a long-term need because they have Byron Buxton coming up, you know, maybe by the end of the season. So really it's kind of on guys like Aaron Hicks or Jordan Schaefer to kind of grab that center field spot and kind of solidify that spot. If they can do that, then it would make more sense, make Santana the everyday guy at short, and then have Escobar be that super utility guy who can see time at short, second, third, maybe even corner outfield, and just be a good, you know, kind of off-the-bench guy, which they really haven't had in recent years.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, every team comes to camp with some preconceived ideas of what the roster, what the lineup's going to look like, and then sometimes guys do force the issue a little bit, and Escobar is at a nice early start potentially to do just that, so we'll see how that all shakes out. One last thing, Rhett. Terry Ryan had said Tommy Malone was one of the players he was most anxious to see this spring. It sounds like his first outing went pretty well from that standpoint, just, you know, commanding the strike zone a little more, and he's obviously feeling healthier. So things looking up for him in that battle for the last spot?
Yeah, I think he's still the front runner for that spot. I mean, he did have a very good debut. He scored those innings, made quick work of the hitters, did a really, you know, good job locating a fastball. Mike Telfrey's still not mixed. Telfrey made his first start since undergoing elbow surgery last year. Was a little shakier than Malone, but only gave a run that was unearned after an error. So it wasn't totally his fault. And obviously we know about the top prospects like Alex Meyer and Trevor May. And Meyer was a little erratic in his debut against the Pirates on Monday. Walked, I think, two guys, hit a batter, threw a wild pitch. So I think Malone's kind of the surest of those options right now, the guy that has that track record of being a successful starter in the A's. Obviously not a flashy guy, kind of a more of a soft-tossing lefty, but he's the only lefty, you know, competing for that spot, too, might get a little bit of an edge. So I do think at this point Malone's the favorite, and I think Telfrey could head to the bullpen. Molitor said earlier that he'd prefer not to put Telfrey in the bullpen because he's coming off the elbow thing, but I think at this point it's almost inevitable, and I'm kind of curious to see if Telfrey does go to the bullpen, how he does, because he does throw surprisingly hard, and it might be a good transition for him, maybe kind of like a Wade Davis size.
Well, good stuff as always from Rhett, and check out all his work on the Twins website, and a lot of good content there. And thanks for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night on every device. Visit MLB.TV for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.